The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode. Internet's good. It's connected.
2025. It's the year for a new laptop.
I think so. I think we're getting there pretty quickly. I definitely think we're getting there pretty quickly.
I know. Then the last time you came out, or the next time you come out, if you don't have one by then, I'm just going to give you this 2015 that I have. You could just use that. It just literally sits here and does nothing.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I definitely want to get a new laptop. I got to get a new desktop, too. My desktop is a 14, but she's still kicking along, you know, so I'm not really 100 like too concerned about that, but she's still kicking along. But hey, 2025, we're getting off to a little rocky start here.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're all recording. Recording that. Welcome. Hope everybody had a good new year.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, you said you went down to your sister's.
I did. Yeah. Went down there, hung out. It was like a little block party thing with her and her neighbors. I have so many funny stories to tell you post podcast.
You were on a good one that night because you were texting the group and the club.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I was doing that to a lot of people. I do that. I do that. Like, you know, I like to share the joy. And then arguing with Brianne about the Lakers. That's always fun.
It's more of a friendly banter versus argument.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it's not. No. Screw you, Brianne. That's kidding. I'm completely joking.
Because the Lakers and Suns both suck right now.
Oh yeah, they're both terrible.
You guys can take your aggressions out on each other because that's probably what it is. Because my favorite thing with sports is everyone looks to the past of what the past teams have done, which has zero significance of what the now is. So anytime a team like a Yankees team or anything that's won a lot of World Series, they're like, yeah, but like we won 5 in a row in 65, and you're like, that doesn't mean anything.
My favorite is Raiders fans. Raiders fans are holding on to I think the last Super Bowl they won was in the 80s.
Is that the Cowboys? Cowboys hold on to stuff too?
Yeah, I think their last Super Bowl was in the 90s, 94, 95, something like that. But yeah. Hey, man, I guess that sometimes when you don't got much.
I mean, that's what you fall back on, right? You always fall back on that. You're like, yeah, but. And it's just like, no, right now it sucks.
The Rams are doing really good. We're here for a sports talk. So the Rams started the season off 4-1, and it looked like it was a wrap. Like it would look like it was just done. And then all of a sudden, they just started winning and winning and winning. And now they're the 3 seed in the wild.
They started off 4-1 or 1-4.
I'm sorry, 1-4.
Yeah, because you're like they start off 4-1 and they started winning. It sounds like they were already winning.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know backwards. I always get that backwards. Get that backwards. Anyway, they only won one game, lost 4 games, and it was not looking that good, and then all of a sudden started things turning around. So we'll see. Who knows? The last Dodgers World Series in 2020 was followed by a Super Bowl win in 2021. Yeah. So I mean, there's precedent.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't know if anyone's gonna beat
sports.
The,
go sports.
Not it's not the Chiefs. No, the other team that I was watching the other day. Oh no, I can't think of who it was. But they were really good, and I was like, I think they're going to actually win.
Yeah, I mean, the chances of the Rams actually going super far is not great. But that's, you know what? That's the exact same thing I said about the Dodgers. The whole time, I was like,
you were in a little bit of a denial. Because with the Dodgers, there was so much expectations that when there's a lot of expectations, like I kind of do this, I tend to dial my expectations back.
So if
something does happen and then the people come at me, I'm just like, well, I don't know, man. You're all the one.
I'm just a pessimistic. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, well, welcome to The Drop 2025, the first episode of 2025.
You guys got about 2 months before we start talking about baseball again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got about a month until we start talking about shows again.
we said, come back at the end of February and you'll be good.
Come back at the end of February. Yeah. But we actually do have like vehicular stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Carl from No Regrets, his parents live right around the corner. So when he comes out to visit for holidays and stuff, we hang out. So this time we went over to, it's called the Kyusha Club, and it's like, they throw monthly meets, and I've never been to one. Ben, our buddy Ben Terpek goes to everything.
Yeah. Ben is on the turf. He is out there.
He's I'm like, what's going on this weekend? And so now he just kind of sends me stuff. I'm not going to go to all these things, but I just want to be in the know just in case.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, just in case you want to pop in or make
this one happen. Was super legit. It was, mm-hmm. It took up like probably 3/4 of a mile, maybe a half mile. Maybe I'm being a little bit dramatic here.
Overzealous. Yeah.
But then some streets next to it, and then it was at like a boba coffee tea place, and inside that place there was a Datsun truck, there was an old car, there was another like UK mini, and it was all graffiti cool. And
so
couches.
It's very much like how vintage Japanese motorsports has their setup.
It's just a little bit bigger.
The Parkers.
Yeah, it's a little the mm-hmm. inside's a little bigger than the vintage one, but yeah, very similar. And then the streets were just lined up with cars, and people were cruising up and down. And
that's cool. And they were like JDM style cars.
It was all
right?
Vintage Japanese and European cars. I forgot.
I'm starting to get into that.
Yeah.
I'm really starting to feel. I mean, I've always liked JDM cars and Japanese cars, obviously. Yeah. But I'm starting to now find not an appreciation because I've always appreciated them. It's finding more interest in them.
Yeah. You know? It's so funny because I went through this whole thing. This last week was really weird vehicle mental wise. Because so my first mm-hmm. club that I got in before a mini truck club was a JDM club, like a Japanese club.
I did not know you were in another
club. I was the only truck. It was all Civics and all whatever, and I was the only truck in it. And it wasn't we just went to the street races and we did all that. It wasn't a serious thing, right? And, mm-hmm. But I've, always really been into that. I used to take the same truck to the 8th mile drags. And used to drag race it.
This is your first truck, your 86
Toyota. Toyota. So I used to drag race it. Wasn't fast or anything, but you know,
I can imagine you drag racing.
Oh, dude, it was so much fun. we used to drag race San Bernardino International Airport right there. We used to go there, and a couple other places. Yeah, and it was cool. So just being like, I've always been on the outside of that world, looking in, but now going to that, it's just like, man. There were so many different kind of cars and so many cool modifications. And I don't know much about like wheels. And like Carl was talking to some dude and he's like, yeah, so that's an Evo. Are these those wheels? And I was like, I have no idea what they're, I just know what I think looks cool, you know, mm-hmm. but there's like so much into that world with different types of wheels and motors and all that stuff. So, but yeah, it was really cool.
I think a lot of the times we get so wrapped up in what we're doing in the truck world. And we kind of like be like, oh, you know, it's not as big as it used to be, or you know, all the stuff, right? But the car culture is gigantic. Yeah. Like there was this, I'm on this dude's nuts. I don't know why, but Vintraw, I talk about him a lot. So he went to a Cars and Coffee down in Orange County, and he made a comment because his brother. So he's an East Coast guy. Lives in Long Beach, but all of his family's from East Coast. So his East Coast family came out, and they were just blown away by the. They're just walking, and in one walk, there's like GTRs, there's like, you know, super nice Civics and like BMWs, and like this amazing, you know, eclectic mix of cars, you know. And I think that we get so wrapped up in what we're doing that we forget that whole thing exists out there. And we really need to go over there and start checking it out.
Well, yeah, because the mini truck, I don't know what it is with the mini truck world. Like it's huge, right? It's big, but it's. Mm-hmm. There's no, like the meets aren't very big, you know, like,
no.
I went mm-hmm. to the Sunset, the last of the Sunset ones a couple weeks ago.
Cruise night.
Yep. Me and Carl went over there and super fun, but just not a lot of people came out. And then mm-hmm. We went to, so on New Year's Day, Ben put together like a cruise because there was nothing going on. There was a big C10 cruise from mm-hmm. The Tucson.
And Joe and Morgan did that, right?
So Tucson C10 Club, Arizona C10 Club, they all met in the middle in Casa Grande. And I've done that before, and it's a lot of fun. But Ben put together like a mini truck one, and I think there was 20 or so vehicles there.
It looked deep, man.
It looked deep. It wasn't it. It was there was probably 20 vehicles, but probably 10 trucks. Like,
yeah. But I mean, in like the grand scheme of things, that's pretty deep. You don't see too many 20 mini trucks together.
It wasn't 20 mini trucks. There was 20 vehicles.
Or 20 mini truck scene people.
That's what I'm saying. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I think that's pretty
good.
No,
it's not. It's not good.
Oh.
Well, I just went to this import thing with almost like a half a mile full of vehicles cruising up and down the street on a whim, on a cruise. It's not a show. It's not a, like, we always look forward. Oh, we look forward to Forbidden Show, the mini nats, the this. It's just like people are just like waiting on the sidelines to do things. And then
these guys,
that scene, they don't wait on the sidelines. They just were like,
they just do it.
They're just like, what's going on this weekend? What's going on this weekend? So that's what I'm saying. It's just like, I was talking to Ben more about it, and I was like, we should do that. Or not we, you should do that every year, but do a bigger cruise. Because we just did the Loop 202, which was kind of went really fast, and then we were done. And we all just kind of hung out and ate. But like, it could be a bigger thing. And I don't know, it's just weird because there's so many mini truckers around Phoenix, and it's just like, where were they?
Yeah,
you know. It's,
did you happen to notice at the Cars and Coffee thing that there were a lot more young people, or were the people our age, like younger people?
It's a lot of younger people. It's a lot of younger people. But then there is a mix, you know, because I was kind of paying attention to that, and but yeah, that is what I pay attention to that quite a bit, because you go to the mini truck stuff and it's the same people over. And over and over and over again. And, you know, getting older, there's not a ton of young people in it. And then you go to that and it's just a ton of young people. So what's the, it's almost like, and this is going to sound really bad and negative.
Oh, hit me.
But like, we're like aging out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we knew that. We talked about that.
Yeah. But like, I'm just talking mainly about like this group here in the Phoenix area, because you just don't see the young people coming up and coming into the thing. You know, it's just like, you know, 40s, getting into your 50s, same people over and over and over again. So it's just like, it's almost like, okay, well, I'm going to break out of this and I'm going to go to where the freshness is. Cause it's like, it rejuvenates your eyes, your brain, gets you excited about things. And that's what I felt like just walking up and down that street. I was just like, things I've never seen before. And I'm sure that scene, they see all the same stuff too, so they might feel the same way. But
It'd be interesting. Were there any mini trucks at that?
Yeah, there was trucks there, but they weren't like mini trucks. Okay. They were just like static dropped stuff.
Okay, so that's the thing. That's sort of like what happened with you know, Vic's thing and everything. Yeah. Like, you know, that was a very set aesthetic and a very, you know, set group of people. And then, you know, like trucks like ours started showing up more and kind of like mixing in.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that'd be interesting to, if that ever happens again, you take your Tacoma there.
That's my plan. You got me more excited to take my Tacoma to that.
Yeah.
Than anything else. But then it also got me more excited to do like a motor swapped mini truck that's not bagged and body dropped. Like, that's that's super low, and just like the wheels are nice and fitted, and it's got like the Titan swap that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, it almost like skipped me forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's sort of like what, you know, Georgia's plan was with her truck. She was trying to meld those worlds together. Mm-hmm. Like a little lowrider, a little mini truck, little JDM, you know, with a motor and the race and the wheels, you know, like, I don't know. I think we're primed to make all of that stuff happen. We're like right in this like little like flashpoint.
Yeah.
You know, for all of this stuff to happen. And it's either going to take or it's not going to take. But what it actually, to be honest with you, if I was to make like not a negative statement, but a bold statement, as I've said before, like, what am I trying to say here? You just have to go do it to make yourself happy. Like, if that's what you want to do, then go do it.
Yeah, because there's so much outside pressure.
Don't be afraid to jump into that and have a little variety in your life.
There's so much outside pressure, especially when you're in a club or whatever, to do certain things to your vehicle. And it's fun when you just see independent people or whatever just do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it's not a show worthy thing. It's just whatever they wanted to do, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, my other question about that is, you know, looking at these younger people being excited about these cars, because you know, a lot of people say, sorry, you know what? Hold on one second. I'm going to put my phone in airplane mode and turn off my Wi-Fi because these scammers be scamming. There we go. Like, okay, so, sorry, I'm trying to reorganize my thoughts. So a lot of, some people say in today's world that like young people are not interested in automotive, you know, now with the advent of electric cars and like, you know, kids not really excited to drive. But then you see that, you go to that thing and you say there are young people that are excited about these vehicles, which are essentially vintage, you know, Japanese cars cars like that. What do you, how do you think they got into those and not mini trucks? Do you think it's like pop culture influence, no, like just anime? Like
whatever they grew up with.
Well, because like anime is a huge cultural influence, you know, in today's world.
I have like no a idea. I'm not young, so I don't know. But I think it's just whatever group of people that you go to school with or that you're attracted to, whatever they're into, you're going to get into it. So it's like whether it's music or whatever. Someone, Kay Faring on Instagram actually sent us a question on the drop about like kids, like getting your kids into certain things and do you do it or don't you do it or how do you do it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but I don't know. I just think that the way I got into it, because my parents weren't into vehicles, nothing custom. My experience into it was because my cousin was in a truck club, and then my buddy from high school, that's where we got into that JDM club, that Japanese car club. And then I met some mini truck guys and got into the mini truck thing. So I don't know any outside influences as far as like that, what you're talking about.
Well, because the reason I bring that up is because the early 2000s of Japanese cars and Civics and stuff was heavily influenced by Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people watched that movie and they got into cars. I think because I have actually heard people say this, and I've watched a couple like videos kind of like breaking it down, is like anime. I go back to the anime thing. It seems silly, but it does have a big influence on the younger generation. And specifically, and I don't know the exact names or anything like this, but there's one anime that features an A86. What are those? Toyotas? Mm-hmm. And that was like, it was like the hero's car. Like, you know how like our parents lament on like, you know, what was the old movies called? Like Gone in 60 Seconds and like...
It's not your parent. That was our generation was Gone in 60 Seconds, not our parents.
No. The original Gone in 60
Seconds. Oh, the original one. And then the other one with the Mustang?
Bullet or something?
Yeah.
So there's these films, like automotive films that influence people. Well, and now the young people are watching anime and, you know, cartoons and stuff. And now you have these guys, they're not driving like Mustangs or something. They're from Japan. So they're driving these like Toyotas and stuff. So they see those, fall in love with them. And then I think there is a correlation between
there probably
that. I think
is.
I mean, it's hard to know without like talking to those people, but I definitely think that there's like a correlation in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But I'm very fascinated by it. I'm like liking it more and more. Big, like small, but big wide wheels, you know, super low, you know, body kits that aren't like, you know, too ridiculous, you know, like I'm really starting to feel it. So not that I'd go out and build one, I think, but I'm definitely like being influenced by it myself, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like funny. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, then that's what's cool is going to those things and just getting little touches of influence for your own build.
Yeah. Like right now, actually over the past like week or so, I've been semi obsessed with, I mean, they've been around forever, BBS wheels, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm becoming like a little more obsessed with them and now paying a little more attention because to me, like I never got the appeal to them. Because to me, they look like the old honeycomb wheels from Pep Boys. I don't know if you remember.
Pep Boys honeycomb wheels were from the BBS. So my very first mini truck had 15-inch bronze honeycomb wheels on it.
But I didn't know that. Yeah. So my perspective I just saw them on cars, and then I saw them at Pep Boys, and my brain put those two together. I didn't understand. But now here we are years later, and now I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to understand and starting to like kind of like, look at it and admire it and really like them. Like I really like the, you know, chrome, like the honeycomb chrome wheels with like little red accents.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm really starting to dig those. So
yeah, I love wheels like that. When people go crazy with different colors and different things like that, it's super cool.
And you know, again, Ben, like he's kind of doing that on his Toyota. Like he had those white wheels, those white honeycomb wheels on it, you know, it looks really good. So I think it's cool. I think again, we're at this flash point. of all these influences influencing each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it happens, because even guys in our scene are kind of getting more into motor swaps and not just LS swapping stuff, you know?
They're not?
No, they are.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Like,
yeah, LS, they are, yeah, getting more into them, not just doing like throwing a small block Chevy or an LS in them. Now they're like exploring all these, like, which these motors have been around forever. 1JZs, 2JZs, like, you know, the Nissan motors, like, they've been around. People yeah. have done it. But I don't know. Maybe again, I'm just like looking at it from a different perspective and noticing it more.
Yeah, you know? Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what's like the thing with us. Like, you go to LST, you're going to see Chevy after Chevy after Chevy on the same, you know, the same style wheels with the same LS swaps. And mm-hmm. and not that that stuff isn't cool, because if you took someone out of their element and put it in that, they would be like blown away.
Mm-hmm.
So taking me out of my element and putting going to that, it's just like, it's like the, it's like new, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. No, it's exciting. It's exciting how like things are changing and where they're going. I'm excited for it. But so yeah, so that was the New Year's Day cruise and the cars and coffee thing.
Yeah, the New Year's Day cruise was cool. Like I was talking about, there wasn't that many people, but it was cool just to get out and just like cruise around. That East Valley Extreme Lows guys always,
they hold it down.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and so, especially the girl with the white standard cab.
Yep.
She gets it. It's tight.
Her and her husband, and then Shane and his wife. So Shane, he has got that Tacoma that he's just got all kinds of mods to it, all kinds of motor mods.
Chaos Taco?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So him, and then his wife has a Tacoma that she was driving, and he was driving his Audi. Oh,
cool.
So she was like dragging her Tacoma, and it's just like, yeah, those guys.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The videos that I saw, I thought was really cool. You know, just like, granted, yes, it's not a lot. But to even see those few,
yeah,
in an atmosphere in like that, driving, cruising down, yeah, there, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I was like, last episode we talked about when I found that Freak Fest DVD and I watched it. And then that just sort of like led me, I was kind of bored, so I started watching, you know, lowlifes and videos and stuff like that. And first of all, Mike was really good at making videos.
Yeah.
He was really, really good at making videos. You know, that's the whole thing too. But compared to that Freak Fest video, Mike's videos are way, way beyond. But it was cool to see, same thing, those Extreme Lows guys just dragging so hard, that the whole Arizona scene, you know, even from way back in the day.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome to see.
Yeah. Yeah. The dragging stuff has definitely gotten less and less. Like I was telling them.
Oh, definitely.
I was just like, when you look under my Tacoma now, like I'm going to let you guys all drag and you guys throw rock chips and mess up your trucks. I'm going to be in the back, because there were like a couple people started dragging, and then just like Big Brown was there and he just got his front end redone.
Uh-huh.
And I had
repainted.
Maverick. Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm just like, all right, there's going to be two groups of people when we do this. There's going to be the people that just don't care about their windshields and and the front of their trucks. And then there's going to be the other group that is like the old guys that are just like, they're all old, but yeah, there's going to be
put
the
them
ones
in the
that,
front.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, because I like my Tacoma, I drug it so much that now I'm having issues with it. Mm-hmm. So, and fixing things. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again on this one.
Yeah, yeah. That's how things usually go.
Yeah.
I'm just out there dragging bumper myself.
Yeah, but Ben did a really good job. He made stickers. So everyone that came, he made a little sticker and gave him a little sticker. And then, I had the pocket mounted on the back of the...
you got some nice rollers?
On the Maverick, yeah.
Cool.
And then Lindsay was hanging out the window taking pictures and video. And so we were kind of all over the freeway doing stuff. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that footage, but...
Well, yeah, that kind of is a nice segue into the next thing. You dropped that 2024 recap video out of nowhere.
I started working on that at 9 o'clock that night on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, because I was just like, I was going to make one, and then I like a few weeks ago, I started to like gather some footage, and I realized like I didn't have a lot of, I like to use rolling footage for those, like that one, like a lot of rolling footage that I got of different stuff that I didn't put on the Grindr TV channel. They were like client stuff, so it was just like a year in review of like what you didn't see already.
Mm-hmm. It was great, man.
But I didn't have that this time. Like I didn't have a lot of that, so I just gave up on it. But then around like 8 o'clock that on New Year's Eve, I was just sitting here and I was like, I should just make one.
That's awesome.
So I just started like going through different footage, and I just threw it together real quick.
Dude, it's always those ones that are always the coolest. Yeah. When there's not not a lot of thought, you just sort of like throw it together and put it out there. Dude, it was awesome because it was funny because I sit down, look at it, and it said, or I saw something that says you posted 2024 recap YouTube, and I thought it was just one of those things where like YouTube does a thing to tell you about your year.
Yeah,
I thought it was one of those. So I was like, oh, this should be interesting. And then it starts, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually really, really cool. Yeah, it was great. It was super good. It made me a little like, I was like, dang. Now that I know that, and also because at the time I was like, dang, I should have done something like that, man. I wish I had. I could, you know, not I can. I had the ability to, but I wish I would have done that myself, kind of thing.
But now once you pass New Year's Day
together,
once you pass New Year's Day, because I was sitting there on New Year's Eve, and I'm like, I have to put this together now and release it. Tomorrow's the last day I can. You can't release it January 5th,
right?
Like you're done. Everything's new now. You can't look in the past. Once the New Year's new, there's you can only reflect for like the next day, and that's it.
Yeah.
But so talking to Lindsay, we were both like, I was like, man, I wish I had more footage of just like us. Remember where like we were folding t-shirts in the room, in the hotel room.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm so lost in getting or concentrated, like focused on getting certain footage that I forget to get bullshit footage.
Yeah.
Cause that's what makes those year in review videos good, is not showing the footage that you've already shown, is showing footage that you haven't shown. So now like, even the cruise, like, I don't know if I'm going to make a video of that or I'm just going to put that away for the year in review. So now when I do all these, when we go anywhere, when I do anything, I'm just going to constantly bring recording on my phone, the whatever is in my hand at the time, I'm just going to record.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put it in a file that says 2025, a year in review.
Oh, cool. So that way
I'm not having to go back and look through footage and find this stuff. Cause I'm sure like I could have found, like I even forgot to put a bunch of Tray 5 rolling shots that I got and in that video. And after I posted, I was like, oh man, I forgot to do that. So now anytime I do stuff, I'm just going to put it in that folder. So that way when the time comes, I have it all.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We always forget to do that. Like you said, like just because even that's just fun memories, man. That's just fun to reflect on later on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I do the same thing. And like how many times have we said, oh, we should be recording this right now?
I know.
You know, all the time. But we should. New Year's resolution. Start recording everything.
Start recording everything. We just need the Ray-Ban glasses with the camera.
I messed with those. Have you messed with those in real life? So Angie was getting some glasses at Lens Crafters, and they had a set. I'm like, oh, I'll mess with these. They're actually really good. The quality is actually pretty good on them.
Yeah, when they first came out, it wasn't, but they have since gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I was like, oh, this is actually like a real thing now. Before, it's like a novelty, like a kitschy thing, you know, but actually, it's not bad. I hadn't seen the footage, but Oro told me one time, he's like, oh, yeah, they had me wear these glasses on my flight out here. So there's just all this footage floating around of Oro's trip.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Imagine if you forget and you go to the bathroom. And then you give all the footage to whoever's editing it.
I'm like, whoa, dude. I didn't know you did that in public bathrooms.
Or like when you set your glasses down, you set them down and like just on the table in your house and you forget about them, but they're still recording.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That is actually really funny. That's a good point.
I released that intervention video too.
Yeah.
So I've been like.
Dude, you've been on it.
I know. I've been on it on a roll.
Yeah.
And now I need to go get the Dino stuff from Milan still so I can start on Dino.
I'm so ready for that video.
It's going to be funny.
It's going to be so good. I'm so ready for that one. But yeah, man. Yeah, we did a lot of stuff last year, but now we're to the future. Starting the future. With LST.
What else was I going to ask you?
I have a couple other things.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because we had some. There was some things that I had to say. I forgot what they were. This person. Just a couple messages that came in through the Instagram. I don't know if you want to drop in or not. But these aren't really dropping in questions.
All right. Yeah. Just go.
All right. So Dale Hughes. He said, "Thanks for mentioning Northern Showdown in the show schedule. The date is August 16th, 2025. And it's in Binbrook, Ontario, Canada."
Cool.
So that
I heard good things about that show.
Yeah? Right on.
Yep.
That's cool. Yeah, there's a few shows. We talked about shows last episode, but yes, again, I'm excited for a few shows coming up this year.
You know what's funny is, so Brent from our club, mm-hmm. Came up. He was his wife's family is out here in Arizona, and so every New Year's they come out here. So he came up to the house on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we hung out for a couple of hours.
Oh, cool! Heck yeah!
Just talked and stuff. Yeah, it's super fun, man.
Right on.
And he was like, yeah, he was like, I watched that Van Nationals video.
The one we talk about.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He said he watched it and he goes, he was just cracking up. If anyone hasn't watched that, you got to go watch it. I think it's on Prime, uh-huh. but it's like the Van Nationals. And I was telling him, I was like, yeah, that now with the resurgence of like the van life type people, mm-hmm. it's like that show went from like super big to small. And then it's just this resurgence of van people.
It's it's still going.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. I didn't know that. That's cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. They have an Instagram and everything. And I was looking at the drone shots.
But now it's more like camping van life people rather than old van run guys.
So the custom van uh-huh. has turned into instead of, back in the 70s, you did the custom paint job, but you took the interior of the van and like plushed it up yeah. with those old tube TVs mm-hmm. and like you
chandeliers.
Made it look like a small, yeah, you made it look like kind of like a small house.
Yeah.
But that's what people are doing now with vans. So every van build is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I watch a ton of van life videos and like, lately, I've been watching like build outs. So what people are, you know, there's every single one of them is different where they put, you know, so whatever's important to that person, mm-hmm. whether it's a big bed, a small bed, a bathroom, no bathroom, outside shower, whatever it is. So every one of them is different. So instead of like this plush, crazy interior, you have this like wood and paint and more modern stuff.
Right.
So it's the same thing, but different.
Yeah. No, that's rad. A lot less Star Wars murals, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, more people actually like utilizing the space to live in
than just get blasted and just hang out at a van run
and then pass out
and then pass out.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I got to look into that. That's really interesting. Are there still like the older van guys around in that? Are they still mixed in or?
I think they are still mixed in, but it's probably not as many of them, obviously.
Yeah, right. you got these like young like. I don't think they're hipsters anymore because that's like an older thing now, but like you have these young bohemian type people, you know, and then you have these old vanners, you know, I could just imagine like a guy with like long white hair, bald on top, shirtless, hanging out in his van. He's like, hey guys, what's going on?
Yeah.
You want a beer?
Yeah.
So they're like, no, like sir, mix. We have matchas brewing right now.
We have our slow drip coffee. Would you like a, I don't even know the fancy words for that
right,
stuff.
Right. No, that's hilarious. I hope that exists. I hope that interaction has happened.
I don't know.
But other than that, we got a message from our good friend Bacon. And
what did he say?
He said, now that with 2024 in the past, who would you put on the Mount Rushmore of mini trucking and who on the Mount Rushmore of mini, wait, sorry, hold on. Who would you put on the Mount Rushmore of mini trucking and who on the Mount Rushmore of mini trucking historians? I don't know what that last part means. Like,
I would say not to name anyone yet.
Yeah.
But let's put that out into the drop universe mm-hmm. and get people to give us like what they would put. Mm-hmm. And then we should put our list together. And then the next time we should revisit this. Because I could name four people off, but then when we're done with this, I'd be like, oh, wait, not that person, right. This person right. type thing.
No, that's a good thing. My thing, what I was going to bring up is it's actually already been done.
Yeah.
Ron Perkins over at Hammered Weekend Wear, or formerly of Hammered Weekend Wear, made a shirt like that. And he had Courtney on there. He had Ernie. He had, I forget all of them.
So that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's perspective or everyone's choices would be different because of the interactions or what those people did for them coming up, you know? Mm-hmm. So like you can't remember the other two. So obviously they weren't too influential to you.
Exactly.
Right. So who would you put up on the Mount Rushmore?
Which is an interesting concept anyway. You know what I mean?
It is a very strange, it goes along with like the, just, I don't know what it is weird to do that. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times what, like you'll see someone and they'll be influential to you mm-hmm. and how you navigate through life and your decisions that you make and about where you go and what shows you go to and what you do to your vehicles and everything else. But then you meet that person.
That's the thing. That's always the
and
rub.
And then you realize, like, oh, this is not who I thought they were.
Right.
Would you still put them up on the Mount Rushmore thing after you met them?
Mm-hmm. Which I think you're right, because I think we're too, still too kind of fresh in it. Because, like, mm-hmm. I follow this page. I mentioned this page before. It's 46 to 64. It's a guy, mm-hmm. and he does all of this, like, lowrider history. And lowrider history is specific to 1946 to 1964. And he talks about all these people, and the way he puts his stories together, they're always very revered. They always have very rich history. They've always been very influential. But we have no idea who these people are. So we read it like, oh, wow, this guy's great. The this guy in Rialto who was putting hydraulics on cars. Really cool. We don't know how he was. You know what I yeah. mean? And because there and are people who grew up with him or what yeah. was around him in those times who were like, I mean, yeah, he did all those things, but, you know, and I'm not talking bad about anybody, especially, like, you know, anybody who's passed away or anything like that. Like, I'm not saying that about anybody in particular. I'm just saying that happens, you know?
Yeah. And then there's also so many people that we just don't know about.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that's your point. Like, yeah, we don't know what happened on the East Coast, you know?
Yeah. It's like same with the Hall of Fame thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's a great idea and it's a needed thing because there's so many important people that contributed to the automotive world that started in mini trucks mm-hmm. that are either still in it or dabble in it, but have moved on to different parts of the automotive industry, but they wouldn't even be where they are if it wasn't for them getting into mini trucks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So like, but at the same time, like there's also people that maybe weren't as like well known or whatever that, you know, like, I don't even know. I know there's like a ton of painters out there that never got their props, you know,
right.
Pinstripers, suspension people, just whatever it is, you know, they kind of fall through the cracks and it's cool to sometimes hear about those people.
Well, and to be honest with you, I mean, this is a prevalent thing throughout anything, not just mini trucks in particular, mm-hmm. is media bias, because like mm-hmm. in the height of mini trucking, it was based out of Orange County. You know, mm-hmm. it had guys who were in Southern California mini truck clubs, like, and they were, I mean, and no fault to them, but that's what they were doing. They were like featuring people that they interacted with and they knew,
yeah.
you know, so
but all media came from Southern California.
Right. But yeah. like now, you know, like mini trucking now, you see it even now in today's mini trucking. It's very yeah. East Coast, you know, because they're from the East Coast. Yeah. That's where they're from.
Yeah.
So they're, yeah. of course, they're going to travel to and cover things that are easily accessible to them.
Yeah.
You know, so I think kind of that's what happened in the early days. You know, that's why yeah. those people that you're referring to didn't necessarily get their dues or, yeah, or exactly. their props or anything.
Yeah.
But now's the time.
So many people like in Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the person to talk to about this would be Jason Ballard. He yeah. could probably go on for, I'm assuming, hours
oh, yeah.
about this, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of school us and like
yeah.
who did what. And this person painted this truck and it's like bands, right? You know, like there's some people that know the drummer of this band, but that drummer was only the drummer of that band from these 2 years. And then this other person took over, but that drummer doesn't get the credit that they deserve.
Exactly.
It's this drummer that gets it, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of, I always compare it to that because it's always super similar. Cause then there's the people that know every member of every band, but then there's some people that just know the music,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Yeah. Just sort of, that's how it exists.
Yeah. So who would be on your Mount Rushmore is the question that you need to answer and let us know.
Bacon. What
is
it? You four, let us know.
Four,
who would Bacon
four
pick?
People, right?
Yeah,
who would Bacon
so.
Pick?
Yeah. No, he yeah, didn't say. He didn't say who he picks, but
yeah. So we want to know who you would pick, and we want to know who everyone would pick that's listening. So if you're listening, who would you put on the Mount Rushmore? It doesn't necessarily have to be mini trucks. Maybe mini trucks or whatever. Like, who would you put up there? Builders, painters, mm-hmm. owners, artists, whatever it was that influenced you. Like, who's your Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
Right on. Well,
and that's the teaser.
That's the teaser.
Yep. So it's your teaser week. So that's the teaser, Frank.
I'm on
Mark
it
at 38:40.
I'm on it. And that's right. pretty much the episode. Don't you get
And that's a wrap.
And that's a wrap. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else we got going on, really.
I got some stuff going on with my Tacoma.
Ooh, Tacoma updates. I like those.
It's still sitting in the garage. It hasn't moved. But had a buddy from Perfect Poise that lives down the street. He did a automatic swap into his wife's Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
and he had to go through all this wire. Like he learned all kinds about wiring and what's different on different stuff and what. And then, so I'm learning, I had to buy a new dash for mine. So I sent my whole interior off to get wrapped years and years and years and years ago. Well, that the truck never got finished. I got screwed over, but I had this full interior sitting there. I've lost the door, I've lost things, over time, but I still had the dash. So the dash that was in it, recently just sitting in it, was just a wrapped 97 dash. I didn't know that.
I remember that. I've seen that laying around.
Yeah. I didn't know that the dashes and 97s were different. So you had 95 and a half Tacomas up to mid 2000 or 1997 were one dash. And then mid July 97 and up were a different dash. So I have the early 97 dash.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Because you have the sliding climate control rather than the twisty.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know if that's different in the mid-97s. Mm-hmm. I know that the dash is different. So mine doesn't have the passenger side airbag thing. It just has like the little dip where you could like kind of engrave thing, or not engraved, whatever it's called. But so I took my dash out and I peeled all the material back. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that we sealed up the defroster vents. And we sealed up the passenger side vent.
Uh-huh.
And we drilled holes in that piece that we sealed it, and then we drilled holes in the material, so there was still going to be airflow coming out of it. But I started to like clean the glue off of it, and it was, I'm like, no, this ain't is it.
A mess.
This ain't it.
Yeah.
So I'd found a dash. It actually showed up right before we started recording.
Oh, rad.
Yeah. There's a place up in Rancho Cordova, up by Sacramento, mm-hmm. and it's called Toyota Auto Mart or something like that. If you need Toyota parts, go on there. You can search whatever they got. They sent that dash, is brown, just like my old one. Fully intact with the vents and everything, was $100.
Oh, wow.
And $100 to ship it.
Wow.
The stuff I was finding on eBay was like $400.
Yeah. Yeah. They can get up there. They get expensive fast.
Yeah. So anyways, Mike, the guy from Purple Poise that came up to look at the wiring and stuff, he was like looking at everything. He goes, all your wiring's pretty much here. And I was like, yeah. So now I'm just waiting on Tanner. And I know he's listening. And he might have already finished the truck, but he's finishing a truck for Hogan right now, and then hopefully mine will get. I just want him to get it running.
Yeah.
I got the fuel pump and brake lines. The brake lines are all there except the ones that run to the back, and the fuel line's there. I just need it to run, like all that stuff. Stuff that I could probably do, but I just don't want to. And I'll talk about this more when I make the video, but if I could just have someone do it in 2 days versus me sitting there trying to figure it out and redo it and overdo it and drill holes in the wrong spot. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Same, yeah. You know, be way easier.
I look at that guy from Extreme Low, Shane, that's building that chaos, the chaos taco. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, I could do everything that he's doing, but he just goes for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's just no fear there with that. And to me, I'm just like, man, I already messed my truck up by doing that.
Right. Right.
So I'm just like, oh, but yeah. So I look up to people that are just in their garage, just
fearlessly
doing stuff.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like guys like him and Ben and, you know, everybody who just goes and gets it. You said that the person that you talked to, I didn't hear it right. He had a manual truck and put an automatic in it.
Yep.
And ran into a bunch of issues. Do you remember when Panda was suggesting that to you instead of like when you guys were trying to figure out the whole like, clutch system in your truck? And he's like, why don't we just slap an automatic in it? So in actual fact, you saved yourself a ton of headache if the fact is that it's kind of difficult to. Well,
I would have not a ton of headache I would have, you just have to get the wiring harness out of the automatic.
Oh, okay.
So anything you ever get, if you just get the motor, you get the ECU, get the wiring harness, get everything. Because if you just try to get just the motor, like it could be something you don't even see, but year to year, things are different,
right?
So and you, everything might even plug into each other. Like he plugged in a bunch of stuff and he just had a bunch of lights come on and he couldn't get the lights off, and it was because they pinned one of the pins differently.
Oh, really?
Year to year.
Oh, wow.
So he's
it's it always
saves you time because going to the junkyard, finding different ECUs, doing this, doing that, and if you pulled the transmission out of one truck and then you go back, that truck's not going to be there anymore, so you gotta
you miss the pieces. It's wild. You know, a lot of people have suggested to me doing a 3.4 swap in my truck. And that's actually one of the easier swaps. There's tons and tons and tons of people who do that. But it's the same thing. Like I when I was kind of like researching it and figuring it out and like reading the forums and stuff, and that same thing, they're like, make sure you get this and you get this. And I'm like, there's just too many variables in this thing. And it runs. Yeah. It's slow. She's real slow, but she runs and drives well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're not doing anything else with it that you would need the more power, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I'm completely fine with it. Yeah, completely fine with it.
It would like it's almost better to just buy, like, if you're doing a motor swap, just to buy the vehicle.
Like, oh, go definitely.
On
yeah.
Go on Copart or mm-hmm. go and find one that's been rear-ended mm-hmm. and you don't need any of the, you don't need the bed, you don't need the axle, you don't need the interior, you don't need any of that stuff, but you just need the entire wiring harness and the entire, like, all that. So I'm going to do with that Titan hard body thing that I do one day. I'm going to mm-hmm. buy the whole Titan. I don't care what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it's all thrashed on the interior, because I'm not going to use any of that.
Right. What about a four-door that the seats are pretty good in?
Yeah. 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 I'll give you $1,500 for it.
That's about what it's worth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right?
We're kind of just to, since we got nothing to talk. Well, we do have to talk about it. Me and Angie have been talking lately because our kid is getting closer and closer to driving, and the plan was to have her drive the Titan, you know. But Angie brought up a very interesting point. She's all, okay, you know, that's fine having this truck and whatever, but don't forget we're gonna have to pay for the things that she hits, takes out someone's mailbox, hits a fence, backs in. Like, I'm like, that's a really good point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why would she hit stuff?
No, I don't know.
You know what I mean? If she's going to hit stuff in that, she's going to hit stuff in a small car too.
That's a good retort. That's a very good retort.
And if she hits stuff in the Titan, you're like, eh.
Well, yeah, no, as far as the truck is concerned, like, I don't care about the
truck. You're just talking about the
other
people's
stuff. I'm just talking about
the
other people's stuff that they're like, hey, by the way, you owe us $5,000.
Well, maybe just teach her how to drive better, Frank.
That's going to be the thing. She's going to start really soon. She's going to start really soon about, you know, driving and taking lessons and stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
Are you going to send her to a driving school, or are you going to do it? How does it work now? Because it's been so long, obviously, since
we're kind of like in the beginning stages of it, figuring it all out. So I'm not 100% sure.
I remember you could do it a semester in high
school. I did it in high school.
And I didn't want to wait that long, so I paid and just did it mm-hmm. at a class or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're sort of in the beginning things of it. The other kind of thing that's floating in my mind now is the Titan has not moved in 6 months. It sat in the same spot. So now I'm...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, I know, but it's just kind of an interesting thing. Like, you know, like, now I'm paying registration and insurance on it. Like, what do I do? I'm just things that are floating in my mind.
Yeah. I'm not just do what I did with the OBS. I just put storage insurance on it.
Excuse me?
Yep. Yeah, it's just that you have the insurance, so your registration stays good. And it's just a storage insurance, and it's like free, basically.
Interesting. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, because if it's just sitting there and you're not driving it, you know, just throw it. I bought a battery tender or a battery thing on Amazon for $30, mm-hmm. and I just keep it plugged to the battery, and then that's it.
Yeah, just let it sit.
Yep.
I already put a new battery in it. That's the reason it didn't move for a long time, is the battery went bad. And I was like, I'll get a battery.
Well, now you need a battery tender that plugs into that.
I've been firing it up every once in a while.
And you got to drive it around, man. That's
So that's the other thing that I was thinking of. Do you think, maybe this is unfounded, but do you think the longer it sits, the more unroadworthy it becomes?
No.
No? You think I can jump in that thing right now and take it to, like, why Texas?
Not? What would stop you from it?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Sitting there, the only thing that it would do is, you know, after years, you would want to replace the tires, mm-hmm. but nothing's being used.
Right.
Like, the oil's just, like, there's...
Just kind of sitting there.
It just kind of
waiting. Waiting for its turn.
Yeah, I mean, that's what mine sits in the backyard.
Yeah,
I don't drive mine for months at a time, and I'll just go out there, fire it up, and throw a trailer behind it and drive it, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's true too. I don't know. I'm just trying to, again, just trying to figure out my life. The Tundra I've now had since May. So what is that? I don't know how many months that is. So since May, I put 10,000 miles on it. I'm all, ooh, it's a little,
I know.
A little much.
I know, dude. It gets a little, I've got almost 38,000 on the Maverick now.
Oh, really?
And I'm just like, it's not new anymore.
I know. I feel like mine's kind of not new anymore. Now it's a 24. Yeah. It's old.
I know. Now it's a new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. So now what's the first road trip across the country in the Tundra then?
I don't know. I don't want to think about that. That's why I'm saying. That's why I'm asking the viability of the Titan.
Well, any road trip we go on, we're gonna take my Titan. So it's like,
right,
because it would probably be towing a truck with this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
yeah, I kind of don't know what I'm gonna do with it because all those miles, like, I mean, I put 10,000 miles on it, but I did take some longer trips. I took it up to the lake, which was pretty far. I took it to SLO, and then I've been to your place a couple times. Like, so, like, and those little, like, I didn't think I was putting that many miles on it, and it adds up pretty quickly, you know?
I know, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb. Why can't they just know? Why can't they float over there? I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know. But, yeah, so I'm still going to need some interior pieces for the Tacoma. I just don't know what yet, so I'm just really, really excited for that thing to get over to Tanner. And I know I'm going to have to, like I was looking the other day, I was like, man, I'm going to need like a starter probably. Like, mm-hmm. not that it doesn't work, but it just looks really old.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to have to buy all kinds of stuff.
When was the last time it moved under its own power?
2010, I think.
2010. Oh, really?
When I picked it up from New Mexico.
It still ran.
Because that, it, well, when I delivered it to the guy that I sold it to in New Mexico, I don't know if he got it running or he sold it to a guy, but that whoever he sold it to was driving it around with no bed.
Really?
Yeah, all this stuff. The way I sold it basically was no bed and then interior stuff in boxes. Mm-hmm. And that dude who bought it, I don't know if he did anything to it. I think he was a Sunset guy in New Mexico. And then he sold it to some drug dealer guy, I guess. Hmm. And then
what's with Tacomas, standard cab Tacomas, and drug deals? I don't know. with Donald's truck.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
and then it got impounded from an apartment complex, and a guy in No Regrets worked at a tow yard, and that's where it ended up. And I was in, Indiana, or Illinois at the time, and for a couple of weeks working on another truck of my buddy had. And then on the way home, we picked that truck up in New Mexico, and it drove onto the trailer.
Wow. And, oh, so something you physically was up, drove it.
I physically drove it onto the trailer. Nice. It wasn't running great. Like, I think it's got a mass airflow sensor problem, mm-hmm. but it has not ran. It has not started. It has not done anything since then.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still relatively, well, 15 years ago now, but
yeah.
relatively recent. I thought it was.
And I don't know where my original cluster is, so I don't even know how many real miles are on that thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Want to say there's like 93,000 miles on it. It's not a lot of miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's just basically, it's such a fascinating thing, that truck. Like,
yeah.
just all these things that came together, all these pieces that come together, it's long history. It's a very interesting thing. Yeah. What you should do would be really interesting is to finish that one and then buy a stock one and do the same thing and just see how much easier it is to do it that way.
A lot easier is what it would be.
Oh yeah, man, you'd have it bag bodied driving in like 2-3 weeks.
I mean, I have
the
91. I have this other truck sitting out here that's stock running driving. So that
Which
it's
one
not
you
a
own?
Tacoma. What? It's the 91.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot you had that's in your possession.
So I that one will probably be at Panda's next week probably. Mm-hmm. And then so we're going to see the different that's what the entire video series is going to be about. It's going to be the contrasting of buying something stock or trying to resurrect an old project.
Right.
And is the nostalgia
worth
or
it.
The what is that called, the value when it's just a memories and stuff?
I know what you're saying. Nostalgia, sentimental value. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. So is the sentimental value worth, depending on what the sentimental value is? You know, if you're like, if your parent gave it to you or your grandpa gave it to you, then, you know, it has a lot. But like the Tacoma sentimental value wasn't that much for me.
Yeah, interesting.
It wasn't a sentimental thing, as more of like a personal vendetta against myself to get it done.
Oh, no, I like that. Spite's a hell of a motivator.
Yes. And because it's just like if I would have sold it or just gave up on it, I would have almost felt like a failure.
Yeah.
So this is just my. Oh, I actually did it.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Hey, I'm
I don't know if it
I'm
was the most intelligent, intelligent decision. Budget-wise,
none of them really are.
No.
None of them really are. But I admire it. I'm here for it. I admire it. Totally forgot about you said 90, it's a 91?
That the one that
the,
I just
the new
got
one
is
a
91.
91. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that whole thing, that all coming together. I'm excited. As a fan, I'm excited.
Yeah, I hope it all works out. Mm-hmm. I think I'm excited to like get that one done, get the OBS done, and get those gone. Mm-hmm. Because like I just need this, like I've had the OBS and for so long, like mm-hmm. it's gonna be fresh to me and everyone else, but at the same time I'm just like I just want something new that I just bought.
Mm-hmm. That you're excited about.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I want, if anyone knows of a hard body for sale, mm-hmm. that it, I don't need the motor or anything, but it needs to be like a decent body, decent shape, and decent interior, but it doesn't need to run or anything.
Standard cab?
That's what I'll be looking for. It doesn't matter.
I would picture it as standard cab.
Me too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it comes up and it's a good deal on an extra cab, mm-hmm. then I'll do that.
Yeah, cool. Right on. Well, I'm excited for everything. I'm excited
for everything. Is there any more questions in the thing?
Not a one.
No.
No. Let us know, guys. Yeah. What are you, questions, topics, comments?
What are you doing? Here's a question for you.
Yes.
That I'll hit me with it. I'll just hit you with on public. What are you doing February 8th?
That's a good question. Probably still preparing for LST and probably softball stuff.
Okay.
Why? What's going on?
I bought tickets to a show in San Diego.
Oh, cool. Like what kind of show?
Unwritten Law and Death on Wednesday.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'll see what's going on.
Yeah. So if you're not doing nothing.
Yeah.
I just was like, Death on Wednesday is a band I used to listen to a long time ago and I completely forgot about.
Yeah.
So I was looking at some Unwritten. I was like, I wonder when Unwritten Law is playing next or where they're at. So they're playing their entire album.
Which one?
One of the. Elva.
Oh, that's the best one.
Yeah. So they're playing the entire album.
Oh, cool.
And then and then I was like, oh, who's opening for him? And it's Death on Wednesday. And I went and looked and I was like, oh, that's the band that I used for that recap song.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yep. Cool. I don't think I've ever heard of them. I got to look into that and check them out.
Yeah. You probably like them.
Yeah.
They're really good. So
my concert thing that I'm looking forward to is in April, the Pinks will be playing with Authority Zero in Riverside.
Oh,
so I'm pretty stoked about that.
That's convenient.
I know that is convenient. And like now I'm like, I know I should have been doing this before, but I'm now writing stuff down, planning, like writing in the calendar and stuff. So I'm like, kind of like, when are you guys going to play? Okay. That it's funny.
When are they playing? Wait, when in April?
April 5th.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I know. It works out really good because we'll be getting, do you know where this is an interesting thing that I realized. We are going to be taking off to Minionats Easter Sunday.
When is that? The 20th?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's when we check into our cabin.
Oh, so we're leaving before that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. That.
Is that Easter Sunday? It doesn't say that on my calendar.
Are you April 20th, right? Yeah. Am I off?
Maybe I don't have... holidays on or something.
Hold on, let's see. I think it is Easter Sunday 2025. Oh, I don't have network connection because I put my phone in airplane mode.
We're stupid.
No, well,
listen, if you're still listening to us right now, that's on you.
Welcome to the end of the episode, everybody. Thank you for making it to this part. You guys get a reward.
Yeah, you must be bored driving to work and no other podcasts are on right now.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, yeah, mini nats. Yeah, so we check in on Sunday the 20th, and we check out Sunday the 27th.
Okay.
So I don't know. It all kind of depends on what we're taking, you know.
Yeah, how that all is going to work out. I'm very excited because it's all a little bit tentative. It's all a little bit kind of unknown. But as we get
inch closer to, like, I told Alan, I was like, hey, I might have the truck to you like by the 6th. That's not going to happen now,
right?
Because Tanner was like, should be done by the 1st. And I was like, I don't think he's going to have it for very long. I know he doesn't want it there for very long. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. All right. It's going to be quite the year, man. I'm excited. That's the other thing. Post podcast. I get it. We got some figuring to do, or actually not figuring, just some discussion
about what
show.
So I can write it down.
Shows. Yeah. Shows.
Okay.
But anyway, well, we made it to the end. Sort of.
We did. We're at 58 minutes, 58 and a half minutes.
We made it. That's considered a made. We made it.
Oh, here's a funny thing. Here's a funny thing. Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The last podcast that I put on my channel, episode 139 or whatever, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, you can't monetize your pod. You can't monetize this.
Why?
And I was like, what happened? Because that song that I used is from Epidemic. So since I canceled my Epidemic, I can't use it. So now I'm going to redo the intro for this video.
Okay.
So that song was Now Go Away, and we will have a new intro, a new song for 2025.
What about, so it won't monetize on my channel now?
Did it monetize on your channel?
Yeah, because I have Epidemic.
You have Epidemic. Yeah. But we're going to start a whole new song for 2025.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Little fresh intro song and go from there.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, then.
All right.
Well, listen to the old song for the last time this year. Well, no, this is the new song.
No, this is the new one.
This is the new. Listen to the new song. Bye.
See you later.